And welcome to this week's episode of Grounded with Brandon and Craig. It's a beautiful Monday morning in late April here in Central Ohio. It is almost May. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Craig, and it is 80.
It's not.
You know what I'm looking for?
It's going to be.
Well, I think it's like close to 80 because,
it probably is.
You know what, I gotta just be honest with you, I'm looking so forward to the cold weather in the winter because it's really hot.
Here we are.
I'm teasing
and we've
you.
Arrived. We have arrived.
I am not looking forward to winter or anything. But no, it's been wonderful. It's been beautiful. And
here's the problem.
Except the problem is we're getting 80 degree temperatures and 80 mile an hour winds.
Practically. Here's the problem though with this nice weather.
And that is?
We're running out of days. Of nice days.
We are.
You know, you said we get what, 14 a
About
year?
14 a year, yes.
Well, you're happy. So our Craig happiness meter is starting to like.
I think we're under 10.
It's definitely dipping toward the middle now.
Yes. We've had some good days.
We've had some really good days.
Really good days. And, it was, it actually the whole weekend was pretty nice.
It was.
Today's beautiful. And, you have, so many, you know, it was a little windy yesterday and the day before,
it's
but
been windy a few days. Yeah.
But I hear rain's coming in. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that'll knock us down a notch or two.
For sure.
Yeah, and I'll be back to my normal.
You'll be back to your normal complaining
exactly
self.
Exactly right, yeah. So I knew about this, and I heard you and Allison talking about this earlier, just a little bit before we came on the air, and we have a blessing box where people can come if they need food, and it's an awesome thing, and a lot of people use it.
Yes, it is.
It's a great outreach. It's amazing how many people know about it and how many people use it, and we're thankful that they do that. But we are centering and focusing on
cereals.
So explain that.
So, one of the items that kind of flies off the shelves pretty quickly, is cereal. And, so their thought was those who are kind of helping out with the blessing box, their thought was, hey, let's do something fun and encourage our families here at RCC to donate a box of cereal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A box of their favorite cereal, and at the end of the month, they're going to tally up and give us what is RCC's favorite cereal.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, we let all three of our kids pick a box and bring it in of their favorite. Like, Jordan's is Cookie Crisp.
Okay.
Cookie Crisp. And then, let's see, Christian's was Fruit Loops.
Okay.
Kennedy's was Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, wow. That, I can see that.
Yeah. You like Fruity Pebbles?
I do like Fruity Pebbles.
Because you and Kennedy are like one in the same.
Yeah, we are. We're just a
chicken,
little.
Chicken, hot dogs, french fries,
Fruity Pebbles. Yeah, exactly.
The four major food groups.
Exactly. 100%. What was your favorite cereal?
Oh, man. I think if I had to choose a favorite cereal, my favorite cereal would be Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
That's mine.
Really?
100%. You can ask Allison. I told her that the other day. Mine was the Captain Crunch with the Crunch Berries. But, you know, the thing about the Captain Crunch, and I love Captain Crunch,
mm-hmm.
and I do like Fruity Pebbles, and I like Frosted Flakes, too, just the plain old Frosted Flakes.
I do, too. I like
great. You
like
know?
The Frosted. I like Frosted Mini Wheats as well.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like Frosted Mini Wheats.
But the Captain Crunch, I love it. And
yep.
But let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does the captain rip up the roof of your mouth or not?
No.
No.
Not mine. It's because you're too tender.
That's why I switched to Fruity Pebbles.
Exactly.
No, it's crazy though, but, I do love that. I love cereal. I mean, I don't
Cereal's
eat it.
Good. Yeah. I'm not,
it, but
you know, it's like, I'll eat other cereal.
So, you know, if you're listening to this and you want to comment, put down your favorite cereal. Maybe buy a box of
buy
your
a box
favorite cereal,
bring
it
in.
Into the blessing
yep.
box, bring it in with you, drop it off, and we'll put it to good use. But it'd be awesome to see what everybody's favorite cereal is. I mean, do you like Apple Jacks?
I like Apple Jacks.
Yeah, they're not bad. I mean,
we eat what we like.
Yeah, we do eat what
we
like.
What about Kix?
Kix.
Mikey likes it.
Who?
Mikey.
Yeah. You know, there's a peanut butter cereal too that the captain
Reese's.
Makes.
Oh yeah, Reese's peanut butter cup cereal.
That's
really good.
Pretty good. You know, now I want to go on a cereal diet.
Right?
Yeah, this is awesome.
But no, you're right. Captain Crunch makes the peanut butter. That one, I liked that one too.
That's good. What about Count Chocula?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a cereal growing up, and I don't know if it was like a poor people cereal or what it was, but, and we talked about this a couple years ago, I think. But it had a king on it, and it was like a royal cereal, but it was
like a generic.
I think it, I don't know if it was generic or not. No,
maybe that was something only in the Hill Jack area of the Appalachian Mountains, because that's, they couldn't get anything piped in, so they did their own. Possible.
Maybe.
You have no idea what it was called?
Ooh, Golden Crisp. Golden Crisp are good too.
What about Cheerios? Like Cheerios?
I like Cheerios.
Isn't there?
I like regular Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, Honey Nut Cheerios is really good. What are the others? I mean, there's like, you go down the cereal aisle and there's like 100 of them.
Here it is. We talked about this.
Oh, what's that? Corn Pops? Do you like Corn Pops?
No, Quaker made this. It was King Vitamin.
Never heard of King Vitamin.
Never heard of King Vitamin?
Dude, I'm almost 60. I've never heard of King Vitamin.
A corn and oat multivitamin and iron supplement cereal.
Sounds like medicine.
Here was the, I think, the updated graphic after they got rid of the picture.
That's
the actual
one.
Man. That's awesome. They went to a cartoon, I think, to make it more kid-friendly.
King Vitamin. Yeah, it sounds like medicine, bro.
Good source of 10 essential vitamins and irons. It was like the cereal. It was like the Flintstone vitamin version of cereal.
I did like the Flintstone vitamins growing up.
My
Those
kids still
awesome.
Take them. Yeah.
Do they really? They still make them?
Oh, they still make them.
Really? Yeah. So back to my question.
All right, sorry.
Do you like Corn Pops?
Yeah, I like Corn
They're
Pops.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
Is there a cereal you don't like?
I like Rice Krispies.
Yeah, Rice Krispies are really good. I like Rice Krispies squares. Those are really good.
I've never had those. I like Rice Krispies treats.
That's what they are, right? Treats?
The squares? Treats?
I mean, you put them in squares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just no milk. Just butter, marshmallow, and Rice Krispies.
Exactly. You like that?
I like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be nice.
So King Vitamin was introduced in 1968. It was discontinued in 2019, 5 years ago.
I wonder why.
I don't know. That was the best cereal. I was eating healthy and I didn't even know it.
I was taking my medication through my cereal. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's King Vitamin. Okay. So there's no way, you know what'd be great if you could go on eBay and find a box of King Vitamin and see if it's still good or not.
I bet you can. I bet it's not.
You don't think it's good?
Oh, I bet that stuff's stale.
You think the expiration date, you know, the expiration dates, I hear, you know, there's the expiration date, but you can actually go beyond that. So I don't know how far beyond.
My wife won't. Like if anything's
I don't
past
either.
Date, she's like, oh no. I'm like, oh. Milk's five days past. Smells fine to me.
Ugh, yuck. I'm the same way as her. No. If milk is expired or cream, it's out of here. It's out of here. But like, what about cans? I mean, I know cans. I'm like, would you eat like a 50-year-old can of
no.
like Chef Boyardee?
Negative.
Why? What if you opened it up and it smelled fine, looked fine? Would you try it?
No.
Not even a taste.
It's not 50 years old, no.
You would need a can of Chef Boyardee from 1980 or 1974, even in like the expiration date was like, say, September 75, and it was sold in 74, but you pop it open and it smells as fresh as the ones today. You wouldn't take a bite.
I might try a little bit.
I think I would if it smelled good. But if I opened it up and it had like, you know, it was like half of it's gone.
Right.
And there's like a crust on top. No.
Yeah, it'd probably be like that, actually.
Yeah, so. Speaking of,
So anyways, there we go. So. Yeah,
Chef Boyardee, there's cereals, there's.
Bring in your cereal.
How did we even go down this road?
I don't know.
So, we're drinking coffee. Let's switch to the coffee.
Always drinking coffee.
And it was really good today. We had our coffee with Willie, not Nelson. And so that was fun, and we got to sit down and chat, and we were eating
coffee again.
We're having.
This is Hemisphere's House Blend.
Okay.
Very good.
It was
nice
good.
And smooth.
Is that what they serve at the coffee hall? Coffee creamery?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's their main blend. And then we're drinking for the shot of espresso, which you had in your coffee. I had mine straight. Waken the Neighbors by Black Rifle.
Really good. Yeah. Super good. Really good.
It does make a very good espresso.
Espresso.
Yeah,
I 100% agree with that. Oh, So you've been having a good weekend, I hear.
It was a good weekend, busy weekend. Had the half marathon Saturday. Wearing my medal. It's like the size of this room.
This guy sitting across from me is wearing a medal that I'm sure you only get medals if you place in the top five, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or is it the top You have to just finish it.
You just finish.
And everybody
gets the
medal.
Line. If you cross the line. So does the first place winner get the same as the last place?
So I think that normally the way that they do it, and I'm not sure on a race this scale, I'm sure there's something, but I know like some of the, like the half marathon I ran in Amish country last year, the top finishers, male and female, receive something special. And then the top finishers in their age class. So my age class was, males 30 to 39. So the top age finishers in your age class received something special too, like a gift certificate to somewhere or a plaque or something like that. Same deal with like the
plus the medal.
Plus the medal. Everybody gets the medal. Hey, you go out and run 13.1 miles, you get a medal and a t-shirt. It's like, I earned.
So they pay you to do this race.
Negative.
Basically. Oh, you had to pay.
I had to pay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was fun.
How much does that cost? Just ballpark it.
So I got my registration in last year.
Just ballpark the number.
I think I was like 70, it's like $75.
You paid them to run.
Yeah.
But they didn't pay you to run 75. No. You paid them.
Right.
Okay, let me.
But you gotta understand,
right? You paid
this them. Is bigger than just paying okay. them. So it's put on, this one's put on by Ohio Health.
If you want to do a half marathon, we can do the Craig Bratch half marathon. You can pay me $25. I'll give you a t-shirt, a medal. You go ahead and complete the 13.1 miles, and I got you covered, bro.
What,
it's
a
lot less.
Me a t-shirt that you already
have? And you
have?
Could come in first place.
I could do that. That's tempting right there.
Give you a gift card to Longhorn.
Where are you getting this stuff? If I'm giving you only $25, this sounds like a deal.
Exactly.
I mean,
I didn't say how much the gift card was for.
No. True.
Anyway, congratulations though on
Thank
the
you.
I'm just poking fun.
He doesn't
get his feelings hurt, but he did a good job. He was keeping me up to date, and it looked like a beautiful morning. I mean, the wind was blowing 100 miles an hour.
So there were a couple of I had somebody ask me yesterday, like, was the wind bad? The wind was actually really nice. There were a couple of corners where we turned a corner and it was like, holy cow, I feel like I'm running with a parachute.
Right?
Because the wind hits you head on. Like actually when we started, because some of those streets down there, like you can get in a wind tunnel because of how tall the buildings are. And so when we started like 200 yards in, 300 yards in, like the wind, I had a hat on.
Okay.
And I had it on front ways. I had to turn it backwards. Like, and I saw multiple guys turning their hats on backwards because the wind was hitting it.
Right.
And it was trying to, you know, to push it up and off. And so I just ran the rest of the race with my hat on backwards.
Well, you would probably have to, you probably have to do that because, does it help with the hat on?
So
help
the reason,
keep your, the sweat out of your eyes.
I wear it to keep the sweat out of my eyes. Yeah. And so, and I just liked, I've been running with a hat a lot. I've run with headbands too. And those are nice, but I am you've got kind of different types of people. I am a very heavy sweater.
Oh.
Yeah. And so,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So I need the hat to kind of collect some of that, but no, it was
totally
really
understand.
Good. You do. It was good. The weather was really nice. It was like 61 when we started.
Ooh, that is nice.
It was partly cloudy. The sun did come out the last 30, 40 minutes of my race, which did get a little bit warm, kind of hitting the shoulder and
right,
everything.
Right.
I had a tank top on.
Right.
But I was, so I had kind of an A, B, and C goal. I did not hit my A goal. My A goal was sub 1:45, sub 1 hour, 45 minutes. And last year I ran it in an hour 52:47. My B goal was to run it sub hour 50. And so I did that. I ran it in an hour 48:41. So I shaved over 4 minutes off from last year's
That's
time.
That's good.
And then my C goal was to mainly beat my time from last year.
This is so profound. A, B, and C goals.
That's right.
That'd be a good sermon series. A, B, and C goals.
A, B, C goals.
While you run.
There you go.
Running the race part two.
Running the race part two.
So congratulations. I'm glad you guys went. You guys, your family had a good time. And,
yeah, they did. I got to see them like 3 times on the course. So they were there toward the beginning.
Got to see them, and then they kind of jetted over to a different road and watched me, and so I gave my kids a high five.
Okay, you told me something today, and I don't know if I should bring this up or not.
Go for it.
He told me that he's running, and people, you know, they're wearing name tags, and, you know, people will yell, hey, you know, go, you know, yeah, go so Willie, our, go
our,
this.
Our or bibs whatever. Have our names on the front of them. If you get registered in time, it has your name on the front.
And he told me he was running by, and some high school kid saw his name, and he was like,
let's go, Brandon. I was kind of disappointed. That's the only one I got.
Really?
Yeah, I chuckled and just kept running.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I may have run that mile faster.
I bet you did. I bet you did. 100%. So, and speaking of, Brandon, I got gas today. It cost me $83 to fill up. Oh my goodness. So, but anyway.
For that. That's
awesome. Exactly. But let's go back to, let's get into something better let's go back to running. So,
exactly.
So you're feeling better. You're feeling good today. And
yeah, I'm feeling really good. So last year being my very first one and, you know, kind of all of this stems back to, you know, and we've talked about it on the podcast, but me, you know, having my lung issues and being in the hospital and kind of getting that God giving me those lungs back and the ability to run. And so I was
I
want to, run a full marathon before I'm 40. So this fall, this October, I'll be running the, Columbus Marathon, at the age of 39. Looking forward to that. Going to have, you know, some big training coming up. But, you know, last year being my very first half marathon that I ever ran, I was broke afterwards. Like I had to lean on both my kids, my older kids, like my legs were jello. This year come across and I was feeling great. And I sent you I don't know that I sent you the picture. Did I send you the picture of me coming across the finish line?
Maybe.
I don't think I did actually.
Maybe not.
But, you can just tell that I'm a completely different person. So I'm recovering well. I'm still
nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Got the tongue out and posing for the camera.
That's a family trait with your pictures, the tongue out.
The tongue out. Jordan, that's Jordan always sticks her tongue out, but she must get it from me. But no, come across and got me a bottle of water and a banana and a bagel that they had there. And so you love bananas.
Oh, okay. If I run 13.1 miles, the last thing I'm going to grab is a banana.
Right?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I was a completely different person this year. And so I am still dealing with like my thighs are kind of still burning, but like the outside of my thighs are sore, but
I hear you.
You know, when you run 13 miles, they're going to be at that pace. You know, I average like an 8 minutes, 18 second pace. So
that's good.
I was very happy with that.
Beat by any girls? Any girls pass you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some even older than me.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if the lady from the Amish country passed you again? Wouldn't it be great every race you're in, she passes
right, she's
you?
There. I'm like, no!
It's like the Twilight Zone. Where right? is it? How did she know? It's
right? Like... Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the Columbus Marathon now, especially just how well I finished this one. Gonna put in a lot of work between now and then. Trying to get ready. I don't know what my goals are for that one yet. My kids think that I can qualify for Boston and I'm like, it's my first marathon. Let's just see. I would actually like to just get sub 4 hour and that's, you know, 26.2 miles.
Right.
So
right.
Sub 4 hour, I would be really happy with that. If I could push down to the 3.5 range, that would
be
great.
If I can do it, you can do it.
You're on a bike, probably. You want to do it? Also, I will pay for your admission.
Dude, I would not pay to run, but I'm just saying. But
if you would run it, I would pay to sign you up.
I could probably run.
And I would pay to see that, too.
Okay, here, I could run really good for about, okay, I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
90 feet.
Close. I'm going to say I could run about a half a mile. And then I'm going to be second guessing my life goals. And I'd be like, you know, bro, I'm out.
I'm out.
Enjoy the next 25 and a half miles.
You would be a DNF. Did not finish. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You are true.
So the one in October, you know, this one's put on, this past weekend was put on by Ohio Health. And I think that they received some stuff there and with the cancer research that they do. But the one in October is Nationwide Children's. And every mile, there's a kid who is, you know, who's being treated there and whatnot.
Okay, gotcha.
There,
gotcha.
Like, and kind of an inspiration deal there.
Right.
Like, I don't think I'm going to wear headphones at all that race. Like, I just want to take that in and enjoy that. I'm sure I'll be crying by the end of it. And just kind of neat, you know, to know that, you know, a lot of people will be raising money for, for Nationwide Children's. And so
that's good. That's really good.
We've had to use them before. We had Kennedy there like a week after she was born with,
there's probably not a family who's listening or a family that you know that haven't probably used Children's at some point in time. I mean, I know that, my grandson in Cincinnati was at Children's, you know, my granddaughter was at Children's about a year and 2 years ago. Yep. I mean, everybody's been there.
Yep.
And you thank God that they're able to get you over the hump.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, they're very good. It was scary when Kennedy was having some breathing issues.
Oh, my goodness.
She was
one
week and a half old, and she's still dealing with asthma stuff now.
So thank God she eats hot dogs and Fruity Pebbles.
And that may be why. It may be why.
And walks around like she owns the entire universe.
Because she does.
Well, she thinks. That's good. Very confident. She's a very confident young lady.
Yes, she is. So, but no, it was good. Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. I know you sent me a text message the night before and said you were praying for me. You sent me a text message that morning and said
pretty
you were
early
for me. Early for you. I'm like, 7 o'clock. Like, I'm stretching out a little bit and I'm like, wow, Craig's texting me. Allie was like, he's still in bed.
I actually wasn't when I threw that text in, but I might have went back. So I don't know.
Right.
It was a Saturday morning, right? So,
but exactly. Anyway.
But congratulations and, keep running. And it's funny that, during this series, that's what you've been doing. So, you're running the race and
yeah,
so that's really good. We got, I wanted just to let everybody know that we had our third session last night for our marriage. Mm. And those have been, I thought those have been going well. And we have big people, pretty much everybody's coming back. And we had the most people that we've had all the three sessions attend last night. And very good discussion. I thought the videos are put together very well. And your table was rocking last night. And
Yes, it was. We've tried to set at different tables every week, and that's been fun.
Yeah. So. I think it's really good. Just the discussion, the comments, just even the follow up after we come out of our groups, just the stuff that people are talking about. And it was nice to see people's wedding photos last night.
Yeah, that
it was
neat.
Very cool. Yeah. So didn't get to see your father-in-law's. I was looking forward to that
one.
I know. He's holding out something. I mean, I know what he's holding out.
I'll see if I can't get a hold of one.
You need to hold. I bet you can.
What do you think of ours?
Well, I mean, it's amazing that Allie's first husband was Justin Bieber.
Now, listen, I had that hair. Justin Bieber was still like, I mean, he was maybe not even a teenager at that point.
How old were you?
23.
Really? You were 23?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How old did I look? Don't answer that.
13. Somebody last night looked at our wedding photo and they were like, oh my gosh, you guys are babies. You look like you're 14 or 15 years old. I'm like, close.
Close.
19. I'm like, we were there. Right.
Exactly.
In the ballpark. So.
Right.
It's amazing how much you change in almost 40 years, but,
And Anita said you still act 19. So.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Right. Occasionally I do. So that's really good. I been, got one more week of that. We got one more week coming up of our series, Run the Race. And, thank you for those people who've hung in there during that. And I've learned all I want to learn about racing. So, but it's been good because I love the principles of that because the Apostle Paul is a genius because he knows exactly what he's talking about. Because, you know, if we look at the Apostle Paul when he talks about running the race and, you know, he beats his body, I wonder, this is just, I'm wondering, because the Bible doesn't tell me this. I'm wondering if somewhere along the way, if the Apostle Paul did not compete in some races at times.
Maybe, yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
How could he not, unless he watched it intently. And I mean, the Roman, there were three different, like Olympic games going on during the time the Apostle Paul was writing. I mean, there was the one in Rome and I don't know all of them right now because I actually researched this and I wonder sometimes that if he didn't run as a runner at some times, or if he didn't get so into the games, because I think, this is my opinion, that there was really, and I read about this and I can't think of the guy's name. I wish I did because I'm doing this off the top of my head. But did you know there were popular runners back in the Apostle Paul's day?
Really?
Where they were touted as like these super sports heroes, like we do like, you know, But like who today? I mean, you know, I can't think of anybody good. Jock Peterson or, right. you know,
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper or somebody like that. Kyle Schwarber. Somebody
negative.
Okay. It, but there was these runners. So literally when the Apostle Paul says that you need to strip off every weight that entangles you. Now, I don't know if you all know this or not, but sometimes they ran with barely anything on at all if they didn't have anything on at all. And he was talking about take up all the things that, because all these runners knew that anything is going to hold them back yep. as they're running. They want anything to get in their way.
Yeah.
And so when I'm reading about this and I'm looking at this and, you know, digging up the history and listening to runners talk about this and listening to what they've done and listen to how they, you know, they overcome adversity and they persevere and they do all this stuff. The Apostle Paul is a genius. And, I think every Christian needs to, you know, look at this, the art of running and what that actually does.
Yep.
Because, you know, you're talking about, you know, you run, you know what it's like. I mean, in any athletic event, there is some perseverance to
that. Right.
There are some things that you have to prepare for. So, and even, you know, you got to persevere even after the race because you're, you know, your legs are hurting, your feet might be hurting. Yep.
You got to recover well.
Yeah. You got to recover, but doesn't mean you stop running, right?
Yep.
You're going to get back out. You're going to start running again. And
tomorrow morning.
So you're not going to stop. But the thing about the Christian race is sometimes is we go through something, we have a hard run, we did persevere. The thing we don't want to do is we don't get back into the race.
Right.
And that's a detriment. That's
exactly.
a total, total detriment. So, and, 1 Corinthians 9:24-26, the Apostle Paul says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. And that's what we were just talking about. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Basically, your medal is going to fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize, which is what? Heaven. So I run with purpose. In every step.
Yeah.
So he's very determined on this. How about Johann Blake?
This is such a great,
I thought it was good.
Great quote and probably something that the more I've actually ran, the more I won't even really say competed, you know, because I'm not out to compete against other people.
Right.
I know that you look at me, I don't really look like a runner. I mean, I do, but I don't.
Right.
I'm not a big person, but also my legs aren't super long. You know, you look at some people and like, wow, that guy looks like a runner because he's got legs and,
right.
and he's really skinny and whatnot. But I loved it. He said, running isn't about being better than someone else. It's about being better than you used to be.
How simply true is that?
It's absolutely true.
And so that's true when you're running,
mm-hmm.
but that's also true in our Christian race. So are you better than you were a week ago in the race? Are you better than a month ago? Are you better than you were a year ago? Because I think a lot of times for us as a Christian, in our minds, we think that we've attained what we're going to attain.
Right.
And so we actually stop working and being intentional on things that, you know, we give ourselves a free pass when it comes to not forgiving or worry or anxiety or gossip or, you know, doing something like that. Free pass. And that's a no-no. That's a no-no in our life.
Well, and I think about that and it's like, how often do we do that though? Where it's like, well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not like that person.
Exactly.
I'm better than they are. Well, no, it's about progress for you and it's about being better than you used to be. And it's about striving to be like Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, we sing a song called More Like Jesus.
Right.
And that is what we should be. You know, I'm going to go out and maybe run a half marathon again before I run my full marathon up in Amish country. I may run that one again. And
I hope you see that girl.
I probably will. But my goal is
to just runs rings around you as you're running.
She probably will. But my goal is to be better than I was last year.
Right.
Ideally, I'd like to beat my time from, you know, this past Saturday, but knowing that last Saturday was a flat course compared to Amish country, it may not happen. And so it's all relative there, but you know, it's striving to be better than I was. And that's the way we have to look at it as well of, hey, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, continue to run the race. And I've got to quit looking, you know, you've talked about that. You can't look in the mirror. If you turn around and you're running while looking behind you, you're going to trip over something.
Right.
And so I keep my eyes on the prize. I press forward. I press on and, I've got to strive to be better than I used to be.
And that's the thing. And you don't try to be better for better sake, because you want to be better because you just want to be better for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're being better because the Holy Spirit living inside of you in God's word and keeping your focus on Christ is the thing that's making you better. We're not talking about you making yourself better.
Right.
We're talking about God, His word, Christ, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. spiritually making yourself better to get you to a place that you have never been before.
Exactly.
Or getting you over getting over a hump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're going to run that race again. And so you want to do better this time. So sometimes I get thrown back into a situation again mm-hmm. that it might not be exactly the same situation, but it's almost like that. And so you still have to persevere and you have to allow God to work in those things.
For sure.
And so I kind of centered in, I wasn't going to do this because, but it just kind of hit me because I love Jesus. I love his words. And so I landed on the words of Jesus, at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. Excuse me. Because I think this is, so poignant. I think when it comes to us and running the race and what we have to do. So I asked 5 questions yesterday. The first question was, which path are you running on?
Mm.
And so, what road are you on, and where are you headed?
Right.
Are you running aimlessly? Are you just jumping on someplace and you don't know where you're going? I mean, when you run in a race, I mean, you know where you're going. You know where the finish line is. You know what direction you're headed.
Yeah.
So basically, you know where you're going in this. So, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. He says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Its gate is wide, for many will choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will find it."
Yeah.
Jesus is very, the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount is very pointed.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointed to you, it's pointed to me, for us as believers.
Exactly.
I think what we have a tendency to do in our world today is we have a tendency to follow the culture. We have a tendency to follow what the world's going to do.
Right.
And I know people are like, no, I would never do that, but we do that.
Right.
By your silence, you follow the world.
Right.
If you're like, I'm not going to comment on it. Somebody starts talking in your family, somebody starts talking at work, you kind of excuse yourself, you back out of it because you don't agree with that.
Right.
So you're there, but you're not, here's the thing, you just went along with them.
Right.
By your silence, you betray what you believe. And sometimes you have to speak up for that. So, but Jesus is saying, look, I don't want you to run this race, of the culture. I want you to run another race. And it's the race that this is a narrow gate to go through. It is a narrow path and only few are going to find this.
Correct.
Robert Frost, poet, old timer, is a good quote, isn't it?
Very good quote.
"Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the road less traveled by, and that's made all the difference." I like that.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus would definitely agree with that because he says that the way to life is found through the very narrow gate. It's the road less traveled.
It's the road less traveled. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be all rainbows and sunshine.
Nope.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, those roads are beneficial too, because you get to, you know, I think about, you know, just being out on trails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like to hike.
I love it.
You know, it's not always easy hiking, is it?
It's not easy.
But you're a lot of times hiking on these trails to maybe a destination, like a waterfall.
Exactly.
And you get to the end of that, it's like, wow, that was not easy, but that was so worth it just to be able to see this.
100%.
And that, I think, is the way that we need to approach this mindset as well, of saying, you know what? God's never not promised that this path is going to be easy. But in the end, when I cross the finish line, when I receive that prize that's not going to fade away, it's all going to be worth it.
And it's
going to
be better than a waterfall.
Oh, way better.
Right. And so you're right. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. And, it's really going to be probably one of the most difficult things you've ever done in your life.
Yep.
Is to literally give your life to Christ and to do exactly what he wants you to do. And
while,
you know, salvation is a free gift of God and we know that, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. But I said yesterday that I think sometimes we believe this, but we actually live opposite because we actually think we can do something to get ourselves into heaven. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done so that none of us can boast about it. Because you know what? If you could do all these great things and preach and lead worship and teach and, you know, do these great things for God, you get to heaven, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pat yourself on the back. Look at all these great things that I did.
Right.
You can't do that. You can only get there by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. And I love that.
Yep.
So when you enter to the narrow gate, I think you're going to have to realize it's going to be costly.
Yeah.
And people are going to look at you like it's costly. Even Christians are going to look at you like that. Because it's a, I think it's a constant reminder when you enter through the narrow gate, you go through the narrow path. It's something that you have to make a decision. You're going to have to dig down deep and trust God and who he is and what Jesus' promises are to get you to where you need to be. And this is really hard for a lot of people.
Yep.
Because we like ourselves. We like to trust in our own abilities. And so maybe that's the reason why the Bible teaches us that we can't take stuff with us when we die.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen those pictures of people being buried?
Well, you showed one there not too long ago. It's been maybe a year.
Okay.
Of the woman that got buried in her car.
She did. It's in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, and that's crazy. It's like, why? What's the point of that? You can't take it with you. But that's the mindset that people think, well, when I'm gone, I'm just going to take it with me if it's with me. Well, no, it's just going to be in the ground.
I was reading where this one guy was buried in his fishing boat, his bass boat. And they lowered him down in his bass boat. I'm like, this is the craziest thing that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that's a perfectly good boat wasted in the ground. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand the sentiment and all that, but that's just, you know, crazy. It's expensive. And
exactly.
That's nutty. So Job says this in Job 121, I came naked from my mother's womb and I'm going to be naked when I leave. And, you know, and I think the thing that you and I and the rest of the Christian community needs to realize is that long before you and I go to eternity, I really believe that God's word and through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, he is trying to get us to get rid of things and to clutter our lives.
Right.
We are so full of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like even like just picking up my cell phone, as I pick this up and I turn this on, there might be five or six notifications. Well, that's clutter.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, that's clutter.
Yeah.
Sending pictures and all that. I mean, I get that, but that can't rule your life. But
exactly.
You throw that in your life, then you throw work and you throw your kids' sports and you throw your hobbies and what you want to do. Pretty soon, you got so much stuff wrapped around you. How are you running this race?
Exactly.
You can't hardly run this race.
And that one right there, you know, you mentioned that. And as you mentioned it, I just had a notification come through. It was CBS Sports. It's like, whoop-dee-doo. But, you know, I don't know if you get this. Every Sunday morning, actually, I don't know why it comes through Sunday mornings. But every Sunday morning, I get a notification on my phone. And it gives me an update on my screen time for the week. And it's like your screen time was either up so many percent this past week or it was down so many percent this past week. Yesterday I got it and it was down like 22% or something like that.
I'm no
like,
way.
Awesome. Yeah.
Not you.
And so that, you know, but that's my goal because you're so right.
Right.
This right here alone, your phone can take up so much of your time. And even when I may be at home with my family, we're not spending quality time together.
Right.
Because the kids are on their little iPads.
Yep.
And Allie and I are sitting on our phones.
Right.
And we're not, you know, hanging out. We're hanging out in the same room, but that's about it. We're in the same place.
I've made a point, like when I go hiking, when I go places, I go out to eat, I don't take my phone with me anymore.
Yep.
I leave it. And I'm like, and they can wait. Things can wait. Like when I go on vacation, you know this because I've told you this, like when I go to the mountains, I won't even take my phone. I'll leave it at the cabin and, you know, and I'll get back and I'll be like, oh, sorry. I you know, I was up in the mountains or whatever. It's because I didn't take my phone with me. I don't want to be distracted.
I was going to say, you don't want the distractions.
No. And, you know, I love Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I know I've read this pretty much every week, but it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Now, this can be a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It could be what we just talked about. It could be worries. It could be unforgiveness. It could be anxieties. It could be gossip. Let's strip off all that weight that slows us down. And then he says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And here's the thing. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that you and I can run this race with endurance if you and I are bogged down by stuff and junk and sin. There's no way it can happen. I've tried it. It doesn't work anytime I've ever done that. So basically the Apostle Paul saying, throw it away, get rid of it. Just distance yourself from that. And so we just have to make sure that we are keeping our focus on what God wants us to keep our focus on.
Absolutely. Question number two.
Here you go.
While you run, who are you listening to? And you made a point to talk about how, you know, a lot of times you see people and what do they have in their ears?
Earbuds. Yeah.
And I do run. I ran on Saturday with my earbuds in. I had one, like 95% of the time I had one out so I could hear what was going on around me.
Right.
So I could hear the crowd.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, they had bands stationed and DJ space stationed like seven or eight different places throughout the course. And so I wanted to be able to enjoy that atmosphere. But yeah, there are times where I will put both headphones in and I'll listen to a podcast. You know, it's like, well, if I'm running, I might as well listen to something that I can kind of retain. I will listen to music, but I found that more and more I listen to music less.
Right.
A lot of times, especially if I'm running in the mornings, like if I go to Marysville and I'm running, say 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
I don't take my headphones because I'm running in the dark. I don't want any distractions. I want to be able to hear what's going on around me. Like if someone's got there was one morning I was running and I was right there at Tim Hortons, but I was on the opposite side of the road and I kind of glanced over and thankfully I didn't have headphones in and it was dark out. It was like 5:45 a.m. And this guy had his dog, taking his dog out to the bathroom and he's like saying her name. He's like, No, stay. And dog was great. Dog was listening to him, but you could see her watching me.
Right.
I ran by and it's like, whew. But like, I want to be able to be in tune to what's going on around me. And so that's a, you know, great question. You know, while you run, who are you listening to?
And then Jesus says this in, and it's actually a warning in Matthew 7 verses 15 and 16. Mm-hmm. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. And I love this part. That is by the way they act.
Yep.
Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And so
great analogy here.
Yeah. So I just briefly described what Jesus is talking about because a lot of people are like, I don't know what he means by that. So, but he basically in their culture, there was a thorn bush that if from a distance, it resembled a cluster of grapes. And so you might be walking and you might be tired and you're like, oh my goodness, I see grapes up there.
So hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. And you get up there and it's actually a thorn bush. Well, that's going to be a letdown. The same thing is when, you know, basically in the Middle East, there were these thistles that resembled figs on a fig tree, but they weren't. The closer you got to them, you realize there's zero fruit on these trees whatsoever. And so basically Jesus is saying the closer that you get to somebody, you're going to be able to see if that person is truthful and a faithful servant who produces fruit. Now, what I mean by this is this. You're not perfect. So you're going to do stuff that's not fruitful. You're going to do stuff that's not godly.
Right.
So we're talking overall, let's say like 95% of the time, you're producing fruit. And people that are close to you know that this person is definitely bearing fruit. So this is what we're talking about.
Right.
We're not talking about you being perfect because there's just no way that's ever going to happen. So Jesus is saying, you know what? Yes, definitely you need to watch out for false prophets, but you need to take a hard look at the people that you're hanging around with.
Exactly.
Because this is what really makes or breaks people. You know, it's like the people that you're always hanging around with, the people that you feed into. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, is God's word their truth? Are they acting on it? Are they claiming something that they're claiming that goes against God's word? There's a ton of things you have to look at. So, but the other thing is, what friends and what preachers and podcasts are you listening to?
Just exactly.
What you said. And what musical stuff are you listening to? Oh, video yeah. games, movies, television. What are you, mm-hmm. what are you watching? Are you listening to things that like get you closer to your relationship to God, or things that pull you away from God, or your ability to share your faith in God? Because if you're listening to negativity, I'm sorry, this is not good as you're on the path and running.
Yeah.
Cause, you don't want that. So Jesus says in Matthew 7 verses 17 through 20, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is what? Chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, you can identify a tree by its fruit, meaning here's his back to the analogy yep. of the thorn bush and the figs. So he says, you can identify people by their what?
Their actions.
Yeah. And there you got it. So Jesus is literally looking at those together.
Yeah. And with that, I would just encourage those of you, and part of that is kind of where I'm at in my life stage. But those of you with kids, you know, are you allowing your kids to listen to music,
right?
That they shouldn't be listening to with messages that are not good, that aren't wholesome. Are you allowing your kids to watch movies that they shouldn't be watching? Are you allowing your kids to watch TV shows? Are you allowing your kids to hang out with other kids who are not a good example, who aren't bearing good fruit?
Right.
And you may think, well, I'm just letting them make their own choices. No, you're their parent for a reason. Your job is to guide them, to lead them. You know, and if you're doing the same things as well, where you're not watching TV shows that are wholesome and, you know, you're not listening to music that is good, then guess what? Your kids are going to follow that pattern as well.
I've never understood parents who allow their kids to make their decisions for themselves.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not their decision to make. You're there to give them guidance, and you're there to lead them to God. You know what? Period. End of discussion.
Exactly.
You're not to get them into university. You're yep. not to get them into sports. You're not to get to help them with their social skills. You get to, they got to know God first, because what's the other stuff matter
mm-hmm.
if they exactly. don't know who God is? I mean, I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I was a youth minister for 13 years and I've been a minister for almost 40 years, and people are like, you know, I just want my kids to make their own decision. You know what? I'm like, I don't agree with that. I think you're 100,000% mm-hmm. wrong. You're
agreed.
On the other side
agreed.
At this point.
Yep.
What you're trying to do is be their friend. You need to be their parent.
Yeah.
If you be their parent now, guaranteed you're going to be their friend later
exactly.
on in life. And that's what you really want.
Exactly.
So, which leads me to question three, kind of goes along with that. Are you bearing fruit in the race?
Mm-hmm.
So as you're running, are you producing anything?
Right.
And what do others see in you? And so I got down to this point where what are you putting into your life basically is what you're going to get out of your life. So what you're gonna reap what you sow, right?
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we're so shocked when we have been planning bad things in our life
mm-hmm.
and we get bad things that happen.
Yeah, the results are gonna be. You know, they're going to
literally,
follow what you're putting in.
I'm just going to be honest with you. It's on you.
Yeah.
It's on me.
It was like if I would have trained, and maybe I trained well, you know, I ran all the mileage that I ran
right.
leading up to this race, but what I put into my body wasn't good. You know, I ate pizza three nights a week. I ate a hamburger, a cheeseburger, you know.
Cheeseburger sounds really good about now.
It does sound really good. French fries every night, you know, Twinkies. Let's be honest. I like Reese Cups. But if I eat Reese Cups every night, like a package of them,
oh.
that's not going to be good.
No, it's not.
You know, if I ate cereal, I don't eat cereal. You know, we talked about all the cereal earlier.
After we talked about cereal, I might go out and buy me a box of Captain Crunch.
Right?
I don't know. I might.
But
just
if I ate cereal all the time, like that's, I'm not going, my body's not going to respond well. And so I would not have been able to have seen the results that I saw this past
right.
weekend if I didn't put things into my body that my body could, you know, use that and return
right.
that energy in a,
right.
in a positive way.
Exactly.
Same is true for us personally. You know, what we, you know, you do reap what you sow. What you plant, you're going to, you know, get back. I loved your analogy yesterday. You're like, say a farmer goes out and plants a field full of corn. And, you know, it gets watered and all that stuff. You know, rain comes and all of a sudden he goes out. It's like, I got a field full of beans. Beans are growing. That like...
You're
that's not going to happen.
No, that's never going to happen. And Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says you'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. And I love that. So that's why, again, Jesus says in Matthew 7:19, so every tree that does not produce good fruit is what? Chopped down and they're thrown into the fire. So you, when you look at the fruit, you go back to Galatians 5, and I skimmed over this quickly yesterday, but there's 9 attributes to this fruit. It's not fruits with an S.
Exactly. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. You know that.
Exactly. So there are there's 9 ingredients to this fruit. You know what I mean? So they all have to be there. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, hey, I'm going to take a little bit of love and joy and peace, but I don't want anything to do with that patience. You know, right. You can't do it. We're talking about getting better. You can only do this better through the power of God's word, through the Holy Spirit, keeping your eyes on God. So
right. This
is the long, into the long haul. But while you're doing that, here's what you else have to do, because this is a part of producing fruit. Because you have to remember that Jesus had a mission. And in Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so while you're bearing fruit, if Jesus' mission was to seek and save that which is lost, that's your job.
Our mission too. Yep.
So it starts with your family,
exactly.
Kids. It starts with your, you know, your relatives. You go to, so you always have to be bearing fruit. And then yesterday, man, I didn't even read this. I just read one line from this whole story.
But
Jesus and the disciples, they're walking one day, and, the way I read this, they've been walking a while.
Yeah, I agree.
And off in the distance, they see a fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I read it, they're kind of excited about this because they're going to get some, you know, something to eat. And as they get closer, they notice this thing doesn't have any figs on it whatsoever. It's just all the leaves. So what I think is so hilarious is Jesus actually condemns this tree, literally condemns it. It's the funniest thing. And so in Matthew 21:19, he says, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withers up.
Yeah.
And Jesus condemned the tree because it failed to do what? Failed to produce fruit. And I believe one of the signs of you and I as a mature Christian as we run the race is, are we producing fruit in our lives?
Yeah.
And are we producing it in the lives of other
people? Other people, yeah.
Because Jesus in Matthew 21 is, do you agree with this? Mm-hmm. Is basically repeating his words in Matthew chapter 7.
Exactly.
Any tree that doesn't produce fruit is going to be withered
chopped
up. You're going to be
thrown into the fire.
So,
you know, and that's pointing to what's going to happen if we don't produce fruit during our race. We get to the finish line. Guess what? We're not going to receive heaven.
Exactly. And it's not about you just coming to church and showing up and doing your thing. It's about you discipling and making disciples.
Exactly.
Question 4. Whose plan do you pursue for the race?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is very disturbing, I think, here. And when you read through the Sermon on the Mount, do you think this Sermon on the Mount seems to gain steam?
It does.
I mean,
yeah.
He starts out with, blessed are those, and then all of a sudden, he's like, boom, he just throws it off. So here's what he says, Matthew 7:21-23. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't break translation here because I didn't want to go flip-flopping back
to
translations.
Right.
But the best translation, I think, is the New International where it says, you evildoers, because I think that's the most poignant to the Greek. But Jesus is laying heavy here. And I want you to realize, and I know you know this, but Jesus was very patient, kind, merciful, but he had zero tolerance, sickened by hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And where people made themselves be something that they weren't. And Jesus is saying, hey, you think you're saved by your heritage and your deeds and your service and your preaching and your teaching and your prayers and your, you know, your traditions and all these things. But those actions are not a golden ticket into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
None of those are. I love John Piper's quote.
It's very good.
He is very good.
He is. He said, it's possible to be involved in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. You become so wrapped in what you... Let's try that again. It's possible to be involved in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. You become so wrapped in you and what you do for God that you overlook the Savior and what He's called you to do.
And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right because we get so wrapped up in being what religious, playing church, coming to church.
What makes us look good.
But and it almost becomes like a job. It almost becomes, hey, this is an extension of my life instead of the Lord working through you. So yeah. Think about this. You may know about Jesus and you may talk about Jesus and you may skillfully use his name to enlarge your network. But is there a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Mm. Because it always comes back to a personal relationship to Christ, because if not, everything else is just smokescreen.
Yep.
It's like teaching and preaching. If there's no relationship to God, then what are we doing?
Right.
I mean, just stop. Just don't do it anymore. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. I'm going to be really honest. I said this yesterday. I don't want to get to the end of my life and stand before God and have to beg and try to impress him with all of my Christian accomplishments and sermons and trips that I've taken with youth group kids and people that I've counseled and hospitals that I've visited, only to have him look at me and say, guess what? I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoer. How disturbing would that be? And I don't want that to happen. And I don't want that to happen in anybody else's life. But you have to realize this is a scathing rebuke about hypocrisy. And a lot of us, we need to get this straightened out before us and God, because in hypocrisy, meaning it's all self-serving for you.
Right.
It's all about you. It's all about you. Everything's about me. Everything's about I. So Jesus addresses people who say that they believe, but they never bear fruit.
Right.
You have to bear fruit. You have to change in your life. And this is the person that Jesus is talking about, who says God's word is truth, but they don't live it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to do it, but they don't do it in their own lives.
Right.
And so Jesus has strong words. He's like, you know what? I never knew you. I never knew you at all. Question 5.
What are you building on? Great question.
And I love Jesus, how he closes out the sermon.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Let me read it.
Yeah, go for it.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. You know, when you build a house, you want it to be on what? A good foundation.
Exactly.
Solid foundation, right? He goes on. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash.
Yesterday I was like, the end.
Right.
Mic drop. And literally he walks to the mountains to be with God.
Yeah.
Like he walks off.
The very next thing he does, he goes off.
I think sometimes we read this passage of scripture and we think that Jesus is talking about those who believe in him and those who don't believe in him. Not at all. No. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about believers, and he's dividing believers into two different camps. Those who build wisely and those who build foolishly. And so where are you going to land? So this is all about you being a follower of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
This is all about this. And so this is not about, oh, I'm safe because, hey, I'm a Christian, so I must be on solid rock. No, he's breaking you and me up as Christians. And which side are you going to fall on?
Right.
And he's saying there's going to be people who are hearing my words and they're never going to change. They ain't ever going to change and do anything differently. And so through that, Jesus is what he's saying in this sermon. He's saying you hear the sermons, you read the books, you go to the Bible studies, you may preach, you may teach, you may lead a Bible study, but are you putting all those things into practice?
Right.
Are you bearing fruit? Are you changing?
Are you bearing fruit?
Are you growing?
Yeah. And it comes down to this, you know, is it A, do you truly have a relationship with him, or B, are you just playing church?
Right. James 1:22, he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. And yesterday I asked everybody, I was like, how many in this room have ever been listening to a sermon or you've heard something and somebody's like, oh, I wish somebody was here today to hear that. Or you look down the room like, I hope they're listening.
Right.
And I think that's a really bad place to get into. And I know we think that, but we need to get out of that, because what happens is Satan's trying to keep you from listening.
Correct.
And getting things that need to be done.
Right.
So basically, don't just listen to the word of God, but you must do what it says. So basically, here's the deal. And this is a hard one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus said, you got to forgive. You got to forgive as my heavenly Father has forgiven you. You know, it's like if you want to be forgiven of your sins, then you need to forgive others of their sins. And we say, oh, but God, you don't know what happened.
Right.
You know what they did. You know what they said. You know how they treated me. Jesus is like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice in that. You've got to forgive. And this is where the endurance, this is where the race kicks in. This is where your eyes on Christ, His Word, Holy Spirit, where you can't do this by yourself. You only have to do this supernaturally and spiritually to be able to forgive somebody of the things that they've done to you in their past. Because let me just tell you this. There's no shortcuts in running this race. None.
Yeah.
Do you have, can you take a shortcut in running the race? Nope.
I could, but I would get disqualified.
And you wouldn't finish the race.
Wouldn't finish. Yep.
And you have to endure. You have to get on. You have to keep working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 10:35-37. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it brings you. And I love this. I love verse 38. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For just in a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And I think this is very important that you and I need this endurance.
Yes.
To understand what we need to keep doing in our lives. I think I said yesterday that I've come to the conclusion, and I think I've lived long enough to believe that I think everyone knows what they need to do.
Yep.
I do. I think we say we don't, but I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
I think you actually do know what you need to do.
Yeah.
But we struggle to do it because we have selfish desires that we haven't crucified and we haven't crucified to the cross and we haven't walked away from it because we haven't trusted God enough or we still want to do it because we're just selfish.
Right.
And so I think we know exactly what we need to do. And so are we going to crucify those desires and or we're not? If we don't crucify them, guess who's on the throne of your life? You are.
We are. Yep.
And if you crucify them, then guess who's not? God is. So.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, that passage there because it's absolutely true when you look at this idea of running a race, you know, running a longer race like the 13 miles that I ran on Saturday or the 26 miles that I'm planning to come up. Or there are people that run, you know, ultra marathons, you know, 50 milers, 100 milers, 200 milers,
right?
Things like that. You know, if you need, what you need is that patient endurance.
Right.
Well, go back to your question number five there. What are you building on? You know, you talk about that foundation. Well, you have to build your foundation in running before you can have that endurance to run that long race. So it, you know, it takes putting miles in and having weeks where you're running, you know, more mileage and then you slowly build that mileage up. And what are you doing? You're building that foundation out so that you can have the endurance to go the distance that you need to go in the race. Well, the same is true for us. You know, we have to continue to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's not.
There's a whole backstory to that story too about Jesus, building on bedrock. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even throw it in because, I was already over time.
Right.
And,
yes, you were.
But there was, there's a whole thing about how, even in Jesus' day, how excruciating it was to find the bedrock and then they level it off to build your house. There's a lot of endurance that goes in just to get that done, as opposed to say, hey, here's a flat source of sand and let's just build here.
Right.
And so, there's just a whole,
it may look good for a time.
Yeah. And it will look good for a time,
but it's not going to last. It's not going to endure.
Yeah. I mean, first sign of weather, you're done.
Yep.
Joseph Stoll. I love him.
How about if I read it? Go for it. Collect my
thoughts.
Your thoughts and your vocal cords.
Yeah.
He said, the distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches from your head to your heart.
It's really good. That is really good.
Very good.
He's right because I think a lot of us, we have the head knowledge.
Right.
But we go with our heart.
But our heart kind of steers us away.
Yeah, because we're like, you got to follow your heart. That makes a great Hallmark movie.
Exactly.
But no, you can't follow your heart on this because your heart's going to lead you away. The Bible says my heart's deceptive.
Yep.
So you have to go with the facts, not your heart, because your heart's going to lead. Now, you have to give your heart to the Lord.
Exactly.
And when you give your heart, that's a totally different thing. And I think the most frustrating thing in the world is people that I see, and I think Jesus would agree with this, that dive into the Word of God and they listen to the sermons, but they choose to do whatever they want to do and they walk away from Him.
They know the Word. But they don't do the Word.
And I'm literally, I said this yesterday, I'm literally convinced the best kindling wood for the fires of hell are those Christians who have logs in their eyes and they're Christian hypocrites. And I think that's the biggest thing that we have to get over. So, you know, I think you and I, we just have to, our race has to be better every day.
Exactly.
It's like the quote from Johann Blake.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I got to be better than what I was.
Better than, right. My race isn't against exactly. somebody else.
So yeah. One more week to go.
One more week. You know, I think that's the point is in realizing and understanding there will be days where we're running the race and it's just not there. Like we just don't feel it.
Right.
And there are going to be days where our performance isn't up to par.
Right.
But what do we do with that? Do we throw ourselves a pity party and say, you know what? I'm just not good right. enough. No, we say, you know what? Tomorrow's a new day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, I may not have did what I wanted to do today. I may have slept in. I may have done this tomorrow. Back right. at it. I've got to do this. I've got to get back on track. And so, you know, that's the same is true for us of exactly. realizing that, you know what? Yeah, I fell flat on my face. I got to pick uh-huh, myself back uh-huh. up and I got to get back on the right path.
Exactly. So, one more week. We're going to talk about finishing the race this Sunday.
Yes.
So hope you guys come and bring your families and, don't forget your cereal for the blessing box.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Walk for Life coming up Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still register for that if you want. We got the baby bottle campaign coming up for New Path Pregnancy. Center, it's a fundraiser that they do.
So
runs from Mother's Day to Father's Day.
Yeah, we had a couple baby announcements yesterday.
We did.
I said that and somebody said, oh, I thought you were going to announce something. I was like, no, Allie and I are not having another baby.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then speaking of babies, we have baby dedication day coming
yes,
up on June the 2nd. And so if you guys are interested in getting your children from 3 years and under, you need to contact Tiffany Williamson and she'll get you set up. We start a new sermon series on Mother's Day called The Miracles of Jesus. We're following along with our kids club. So for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be going hand to hand.
I'm excited about yeah. that. You know, and if you're listening and you're a parent with kids in kids club, go home and chat about it.
Right.
You know, chat about it throughout the week because guess what? We're going to be learning the same things. We're going to be diving right. into the same scriptures. So
exactly.
that's going to be good.
So there you go. We're ready to roll. So hope you guys have a great week and, hope you have a good week. And
thank you.
I hope
you
that
too.
The weather is changing. It's awesome. It's good. And so hope you guys come back Sunday to finish the race. And I hope you come back Sunday night if you've been in the marriage series because we're going to finish that up and, a lot of good stuff ahead.
Yes, it is.
And, so what about you?
Just back at it. Back into.
You're always back at it.
Back at it. Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've got.
Me too.
You going to try to get out on your bike?
Would like to if the wind's yeah. not blowing 100 miles an hour.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Right.
But yeah, no, we hope you, everybody listening, has a great week and, hope you run your race well this week. See ya.